Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Small business owner, you're special among Americans. You are a latter-day pioneer of our society and truly one of America's heroes. All right, we're back. It's 13 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Russell Brown is also here, and I'm glad he's here as well. Russell is our good friend. He is the president of RDS Associates Incorporated, also the founder and the president of Business Book Press. He is the author of some outstanding magazines, two of which I have in my hand right now. One is Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business. That's one. And the other one is Preparing Your Business for Sale. We use these a lot in our discussions about how to buy and sell businesses. But today, we're talking about how to hand your business down whenever you're gone. This baby that you birthed and grown and nurtured and loved and hated, and now it's you know, you're looking ahead. Maybe it's a long way off, but you're looking ahead to the days when maybe you won't be around to nurture this baby, and you need to find someone else who can do that. And typically, in many, many family businesses, that's another member of the family. Right, Russ?
That's exactly right. And that, you know, many, many business owners who do have family members coming along, usually it's a son or daughter, they do want to pass the business on to their children. They really want to, even with all the problems associated with that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, and I know we've talked about this before. This is actually, I guess maybe this is the second or third visit we've had about this issue. I've forgotten exactly. But how many times have you and I both seen people who just work so hard, and they did such a great job with their business? They were smart and they were diligent and courageous and all this, and they created jobs from what was once nothing, made lots of great provide lots of jobs for families and helped them, benefited the community, on and on and on. But they couldn't make themselves, as many hard decisions as they'd made earlier, they couldn't make themselves make the decision to set their business up so that it would endure.
That's right. And what happens naturally, as you get older, you know, you lose some of that fire and brimstone that you mm-hmm. had when you were younger.
Yep.
And it's natural that you start to slow down. In general, older business owners, folks who've been in business for 30 or plus years, they tend not to keep up with technology. They tend not to take advantages of what the latest advances are in the industry that they're in, and their business starts to decline a little bit.
The viability of that business in the marketplace erodes, doesn't it?
It certainly does, and that happens whether or not you're a family-owned business or not. But in the case of a family-owned business, of course, you've got your children coming along, and about that time that you're starting to decline, that's about the time that junior is now maturing, is probably out of college if he's going to go to college, or is over the his service years or whatever, and is now starting to look at coming into the business with mom and pop,
mm-hmm.
and looking to take it over. And there's a tremendous new dynamic going on right now, because these kids are the Generation Xers, you know, and they're really wired kids, you know. They know technology.
Well, you know, there's another thing going on here, Russ. There are families out there where, same scenario you just said, but and I know several cases like this, but the junior, as you say, the son or daughter had gone off and gone into another industry, or gone off and was working on their own, and they've gotten downsized, or for whatever reason, they've decided to to join the business late in life, so to speak, more around our age. I mean, I've seen this a lot.
Oh, sure. And there's one of the personal issues that gets involved in a child coming into the business is if the child's got something, a lot on the ball, they certainly feel like, gee, I want to prove myself. I want to do something mm-hmm. on my own. I don't want to just be, you know, take over something that dad or mom has built up. So there's a certain hesitancy in the part of the child that you get into that business that mom and dad have started. But I think that, you know, again, as they mature, they get a little older, they start to realize that that's silly. There's no point to worrying about something like that, that they will have the chance to stand their own 2 feet in that business. And as I was saying, with today's rapid technological changes affecting every industry that we have out there, there is usually ample opportunity for the child to come in and make a significant impact in that company.
Mm-hmm.
Because most likely, mom and dad have not kept up with technology. I mean,
just the fact that there are all these new ideas that this other person can bring to the table, can make a difference. And one of the things that I think, Russ, would be good to point out, some of the indicators. If you're wondering whether your company might fall into this trap that you and I've been talking about, there are a few indicators. One is you're losing market share. Maybe your equity is eroding. The equity in on your balance sheet is eroding a little bit. You're not making either. Maybe you're not losing money, but you're not making as much money, or your sales are not as high as they used to be.
And that's typical. We see that in very, very many businesses that are carried into the 30th, 40th year by their founder.
Yep.
So that is typical. And again, whether or not it's a family succession plan business, that happens either way.
Well, let's talk about the succession plan. How do we? What is
it? Well, that's what we need to do. We need to plan how we're going to turn this over to our son and daughter. So we need to come up with something called a succession plan. And the one I like to use and I advise folks on is that it should be a three-part plan. And that is, the first part, you should have a strategic plan. The second, you should have an estate plan. And lastly, a financial plan. Because you're going to need, there's going to need to be funds available. Because mom and dad need to get out of the business with some money, with a significant amount of money, to go into their retirement years and be able to enjoy the benefits of having worked so many years and built up such a successful business. So, but typically Junior doesn't have any money to buy mom or dad out.
Mm-hmm.
So therein comes a problem. So if we can combine these aspects of this into a succession plan, we're going to make for a successful transition.
When we come back, folks, Russ is going to talk to us about developing a strategic transition plan. One of the first things is to identify a motivated successor. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. 888-822-8255. If you'd like to join us, give us a call. Russell Brown is our guest this hour, and he's our good friend. He's a member of our Brain Trust, and an outstanding small business resource and an expert at buying and selling businesses and helping businesses to transfer the business from one generation to the next. And that's what we're talking about, is a succession plan. And we're talking now about, Russ, developing the strategic part of the plan.
That's
and
right.
The first thing, as I mentioned as we took a break, is the first thing you got to do is you got to identify a motivated successor.
That's right. Got to find somebody in the family who's going to take over the business. Now, that may be very easy if you only have one child of the correct age and inclination. Or it could be very difficult if you have that one child who either isn't the right age or doesn't have the inclination or entrepreneurship that's needed. And it can get even worse than that. You may have several children.
Oh, yeah.
That all want to take over the business, all are capable in one way or another, all have different, perhaps different skills and capabilities that they bring, but any one of them would be a good leader. So you need to have a process where you're going to figure out how you're going to identify your successor and bring them into the company. And one piece of advice, if you take nothing away from this, you business owners out there who have children coming up, never ever split the ownership 50-50 between your children. Or in thirds between the children. Now you need a leader. A business needs a leader. A company needs to move ahead with someone at the helm that has the final responsibility for the decision making.
The buck's got to stop on one desk.
That's right. And when you try to split that between multiple people, it just almost never works.
There's two words in that sentence that I want to focus on for a second. I like the way you used motivated in that sentence. You said search for a motivated successor. As you say, sometimes the heir apparent, emphasis on apparent, is not also an air motivated.
Exactly.
And so, and then you try to bring in the word successor. Successor could mean owner, but would you agree that it doesn't have to mean leader?
That's right.
In other words, the successor could be the person you transfer the assets to, but not necessarily the person who runs the business. So, isn't it important to make a distinction there?
It certainly is. You know, I've seen situations where companies have actually taken a look at the owner has looked down at the son, taken a very careful, hard look, and said, you know, Johnny just cannot assume leadership of this company. He just can't be, certainly at this time, maybe in 10 years,
some
maturity.
He's just not ready.
Just not ready. But I don't want to sell the company. I want him to have the company. I want it to stay in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is, a workaround is the company hires a president.
Yep.
As part of a management team that they put together. Johnny becomes part of that management team, but he's subservient to the newly hired president CEO.
He's a vice president or manager or something
sure.
like that.
Mm-hmm. You put him in a position he can handle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there's lots of capability, and he might be very numbers-oriented, so he might make a great treasurer for the company, but he may not have the entrepreneurial spirit that's necessary to lead the company forward in new business field. So that's just one example. So you need to identify early on who's going to take over and then start to groom that individual.
You know, you just used another word that I like to use. You used the word spirit. You said entrepreneurial spirit. That's one of the sad things to me when I see family businesses where the owner had the entrepreneurial spirit, but the children that they've raised do not have that, and it's disappointing to the owners that when they find that the people that they've raised do not have the same fire in their belly that they had, and it's part of the reason is because they've been spoiled all their lives.
Well, that's probably it. And who's to say whether it's environmentally or whether it's caused by growing up or whether you got a habit to start with? But you're right. There's a lot of children, a lot of people out there don't have what it takes to run a small business. And when we're saying small business here, we're talking up to perhaps $20 million in sales.
Yeah. And now, when you talk about advisors, you mentioned that. That's another thing that a lot of people don't take into consideration is the role that outside people, company advisors, can have in this transition.
Right, and they can play a very important role. And even if you don't hire somebody directly to run the company or to come in as the leader, you can also hire somebody to augment what it is that your son or daughter can to make up a successful leadership team.
Absolutely, Russ. Welcome back. It's 33 After. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And you know, they say the mind's the first thing to go. Have you heard that, Russ?
Yes, I have.
Earlier in the hour, it's been called to my attention earlier in the hour that I said I was talking to you about Russ's books, and it's been called to my attention that I said that they were magazines. And not only has my mind gone to the point where I actually apparently said that, but it's so far gone that I didn't even know that I did it. Their books, ladies and gentlemen, this one is called Strategies for Successfully, Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, and it received the Kiplinger's Award, didn't it, Russ?
Yes, it did.
And the other one is Preparing Your Business for Sale, Sell Your Business for the Most Money. It's hardbound. And it's an outstanding book. I know it's you've gotten quite a few orders from some pretty significant folks on that book, haven't you?
Well, absolutely, yeah.
Yep. They're books, folks, not magazines. And Russ Brown is here, and he's not a magazine either. He is a member of our Brain Trust. He is also very well represented in my archives. I've forgotten how many, Russ. What is it, about 10 or 10 or 12 archives?
Yeah, something in that range, sure.
Yeah. Check out the website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, and that's where you can go to find out more of what Russ has to say. He is in the archives, primarily under Buying and Selling a Business. I think that's where you'll find most of his. Or just type in his name, Russell, or type in Brown, and you'll get the archives that have his name listed there. And Russ, give us your website, please.
It's www.businessbookpress.com.
Right. And that's where they can go to find your books, but they can also get them at bookstores, can't they?
They can get Barnes & Noble carries the books, as do many other bookstores.
And online.
If they don't have it, you tell them that you get that book in there.
That's right, exactly. All right, 888-822-8255 if you'd like to join us. We're talking about succession plan and plan for your small business. And one of the things that that a lot of people, I think, don't think about, Russ, and this is what kind of, when they, if they even start thinking about it, I think this is what makes them stop their succession plan thinking, and that's when they start thinking about the changes that have to happen. We just did a show recently, actually one of the last shows we did was with Steve Martin on change, how things change and how we have to be ready for that. And a succession plan is, by definition, change, isn't it?
Well, very much so.
And so when you start contemplating, okay, this is what I do for the company. If I'm not here, this is what I'll have to do to make, this is what will have to be in employed in my organization to replace me. And you start thinking about bringing in outside people and having a new organizational structure. And most people don't like that.
That's right.
But you have to focus on that, don't you?
You certainly do. You have to build the change around what's needed to accommodate the transition to your successors. And again, the earlier you start doing that, the better. The more you think about that and start to put that into place, the more successful that transition will be. You need to identify what your role will be as the retired owner, you know, as you leave the business. Again, you know, it's the same situation. You don't just turn it over to Junior, hand him the keys and say goodbye. There's a transition process.
And you also have two scenarios there, don't you? One is if you're just gone all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Something you die suddenly or incapacitated suddenly, and then the second is, as you say, if you're able to just kind of wander off into the sunset gradually.
That's right, and you know, there's lots of ways to do this, and one way that certainly doesn't work at all is to just turn the keys over to Junior and leave, and just as that doesn't work well, turning it over to an arm's length buyer.
I know a case like that.
Yeah,
I know that literally the father turned 65, and without the son ever, the son ever having talked about it, this has been years ago, 25 years ago probably, the father just walked up, the son tossed him the keys and said, "Here's my address in Florida. That's where you send my check."
Yeah,
and he walked out.
Yeah,
that's a true story.
Yeah, and well, of course that happens not from a retirement situation a lot of times. Sometimes there's a death or incapacitation on the part of the owner, and so Junior is forced to come in and take over the business without any real transition. But we're talking here where you have a plan. That doesn't happen. You are able to plan for this. And and one other thing, as you transition out, there's another syndrome we call the seagull syndrome, and that's where a lot of business owners do a semi-retirement, and they go south for the winter and back in the business during the summer months.
Well, and they're always available for consulting.
Well, that's true, but if you're you know, a long way away from the physical side of your business, you're not there day to day, and then you come in for several months, for 4 to 6 months, and you want to take charge again, you can't do that. I mean,
well, and doesn't that need, if you're going to do that, if people are going to accept that kind of a situation, accept this company on that basis, shouldn't there be written documents that say this is the way it's going to be, and to prevent someone from coming back and saying, you know, I don't like the way you've been running this for the last 6 months?
Well, you certainly should have everything written down, and that's part of what this succession plan is all about. Write down what it is that you're planning to do and how you're planning to do it and what time frame you're doing it in.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody knows. And that's very important for the children, by the way, especially if there's more than one child. Have this all written down and have it laid out as to how this whole ownership issue is being transferred.
Yeah, let's talk about some more about that when we come back, Russ, especially about how to get that written down on paper and who you should get to help you with that. It's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Russell Brown. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. My phone number is 888-822-8255, and our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Russell Brown is our guest, and he is a professional business broker. He's a professional business consultant, and He's an expert at valuing businesses. Russell, if someone wanted to contact you, would you tell us how they could do that?
Well, I have an 800 number they can call. 800-363-8867.
And you're out of Niantic, Connecticut, right?
That's right.
And if they wanted to contact you about valuing a business, you'd be glad to talk to them, and that won't cost them anything just to introduce themselves and talk about an idea or two with you, right?
That's absolutely right. And, of course, they can always visit my website, and I do have a section on there about valuation.
Okay.
And that's businessbookpress.com.
All right. Sounds good. Check him out, folks. He's a great resource. Okay, we're talking about estate planning. We're about to get into the estate planning portion of succession planning. But one of the things that I want to make sure that we reminded people of, Russell, before we move on, is that just when we were talking about change with Steve Martin earlier in the week, Russ, he said that 2/3 of everybody who is faced with change resists change. And you have to assume that you're probably in that 2/3. I think it'd be healthy to assume that you're in that 2/3 group and that you're probably going to resist this change that you know is inevitable. So why not recognize that and say, okay, I'm going to have to learn to deal with some new things if I'm going to be able to hand my business off. One of the things that I love, someone said once for us about children, they said you have to give them roots, but then you also have to give them wings. And that's what you have to do with your business too, don't you?
Yes, and you know, when you think about it, and there are a lot of problems in accomplishing a successful succession, and when you just talked about the change issues, now think about it, you know, you've got the owner of the business, he's going to resist change just if he's part of that 2/3. And the child coming in may be resisting change. They may not be really enthusiastic about coming in at first, or they may be in the company and nervous about taking over more responsibility or the full responsibility. So they may be resisting change. You've got your employees. They may be resisting change.
I promise you they will.
Excuse me?
I said, I promise you they'll resist change.
Oh, sure. Of course they will. And of course, you've got all of the other corporate advisors, you've got the spouse at home, the mother or the father, who will be resisting change as well. So you've got all of that built in. It's quite a dynamic, and there's a whole industry built up around advising small business owners on how to transition their business to their children.
Speaking of that, which is where we were headed, where should we look for someone who can help us with this transition?
Well, there are many colleges, major colleges, who have in their business schools a significant succession planning or family-owned business component. And let me just go quickly over. I was just
Russ, I don't know. when people start recommending professors,
No. Well, I don't know. They've done a good. Well, I'm
okay.
Let me just give you one in particular. Not one university at first, but
okay.
There's one that's called the Arthur Anderson Center for Family Business. It's a national firm. I think everybody's heard of Arthur Anderson consulting companies. It's a major consulting firm, and they have a center for family business. And they've emerged over the last several years as basically the leader in this field. And they've teamed up and work with lots of companies like Baylor, Loyola.
Okay, now I'll see. If we're talking about blending industry with academia, okay, I'll buy that.
Okay.
I thought you were going to send us to one of the professors down at the local college. Anyway.
No.
I'm not going to get into that because I'll be getting into hot water here. Go ahead.
Okay, and well, we've got Duke and Fairleigh Dickinson and...
Okay, but we're not around any of those places. We're a long way away from those places. We're out in flyover America, and those places exist, and thank you for bringing it up. But what about like a CPA or a tax attorney or someone like that?
Well, they certainly, some of them have some experience in this, but most don't.
Yeah.
It isn't that. You generally need to find someone who has some specialization in the field.
But can't you, if you think you know someone or if someone says, yes, I can help you with that, because, you know, obviously if you can find someone locally, it'll save you money. and it'll save you, it'll be a lot more efficient. But can't you say, okay, you tell me that you've got this ability. How many have you done? Can you give me some references? Can I talk to some people so I can find out how good a job you did and whether they were happy working with you?
Sure. That's exactly what you want to do. And but you've got to be careful. Don't be penalizing pound foolish here. You know,
yeah.
This is a major responsibility and a major task to turn this business over.
The reason I'm focusing on that, Russ, is I'm going back to this change, and mom and pop are looking for any excuse not to do it. They try to get started, and they make some progress, but the first little sign of resistance, and the business draws their interest back into them. They find other things that they take up their time, and they just won't do it. They'll say, "Yeah, I started that once, but I couldn't find anybody to help me."
Yeah.
And I'm afraid if we make it if it's too complicated, that it'll give them an excuse not to make this change. That's the natural thing to do, I think. Stand by, we've got to take a break. It's 50 after. I'm Jim Blassen, here, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back to wrap up the hour with Russell Brown. We are back at 54 after. Thank you for joining us. I want to remind you that Kelly Oldweiler is going to be joining us in the next hour, and she's going to be talking about heroes. And that's what she's got on her mind, and that's what we're going to talk about is the concept of heroes, who they are, what makes a hero, and who are your heroes. And I'd like for you to join us and let us know who some of your heroes are and what you think a hero is. Russ Brown is joining us. We're talking about succession planning. And Russ, you were going to tell us one more thing about the universities.
Well, yeah, you were kind of doubting a little bit. The one point I wanted to make is they're almost always free. So, I encourage my clients, go there, get as much information as you can.
That'll make people drive an hour.
they perform this as a public service.
How would we find out where those people are, where those things are?
Well, one great resource is this book called Preparing Your Business for Sale.
Imagine that.
By Russell Brown.
Yeah, it's a great book, folks.
Well, it has, we have a whole back section, in addition to an entire chapter on succession planning.
Yep.
There's a whole section on resources. And we have several pages of all of the universities that specialize in family-owned business. And what I did is I selected the best, and I also selected them to be strategically located geographically. So no matter who got the book, where you are in the country with the book, there's a university near you that makes sense for you to go to.
It's all right here, folks. In fact, it begins on page 253.
Right. And that's where you'd want to start. And there's... Believe me, there's plenty of work for all of the consultants out there in helping businesses transition. But I think it's very good for a business owner, very smart, to get to one of these universities that specializes in the succession family-owned business field and get all that information. Take advantage of that free information, basically information that you've paid for through your taxes.
At least contact them. And they may have a little package they can send you to find out if what they have is something that you're interested in.
Sure, that's correct.
Check out, how much is this? How much is your book, Russ?
$29.95.
$29.95. If they buy both of them, you give them a discount, right?
Yes, sir.
Folks, that could be the best $29.95 that you've spent. By the way, will you give my audience a little bit of a discount, Russ?
I certainly will.
If they just buy one of them, wouldn't you give my audience a little bit of a discount?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Make sure you mention my name, folks. But buy this book. Either go to the bookstores or buy it online. This is an outstanding resource that could really get you started on a successful succession planning of your business. Okay, now, we got about a minute, Russ. Tell us what we're going to talk about next time.
Well, remember there were three parts to this succession plan that we're going to put together. And one part we just got through talking about, and that's the strategic part of it. Next is that we got to have an estate sub-plan and a financial transition plan. So next time we'll talk about estate planning, and we'll do that in a way that we won't put people to sleep. It's awful for people to sleep this early in the morning when they've just gotten up. But it's very important to understand this because you don't want to make sure that Uncle Sam doesn't get in there with his grubbies and take all that you've worked so hard for, as you transition this to your child.
One of the best ways I've learned to keep people awake talking about this sort of stuff is talking about what you just said, and that's to letting people know how much Uncle Sam will get if you don't do a good job of this planning. And I think what we're going to do, Russ, and you've told me that it's okay with you, I think I'll get Doug Stiers, our resident CPA, to join us that day, and we'll get a CPA and a business broker's perspective on this.
That's a great idea.
Sounds good. Russ, thank you very much for joining us today. As always, you did a great job. Looking forward to next time.
Okay, thanks very much, Jim.
Have a good one. Yeah, Russell Brown, ladies and gentlemen, the author of two books I'm holding in my hand, Preparing Your Business for Sale and Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blessingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.